the air you breathe. Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200. How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you. Tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel. Who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men. Machine men, with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines, you are men. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us use the power to make this life a wonderful adventure. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite!
Welcome back, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to KW today, who joined us yesterday and today. If you missed the first part of the show, apparently it was recorded and will be up on the archives very shortly after. And we'll, of course, post it on my archives now. Boy, talk about... Wow, I don't even know what to call this. Providence, my friend, that you are here right now, because just earlier today I was looking up a Bible verse, and I always go to the concordances to find out the original, you know, and full meaning of words. And the verse I was looking up there's about, I don't know, some ridiculous number, like 40 different names that the character Jesus is actually called in the Bible. One of those is the first begotten of the dead. And so I looked, and I was like, all right, what does that actually mean? And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Okay, as we know, everything in the Bible has... okay, we're not talking about blood. We're not. None of us are actually, you know, baked in blood. It's not real blood, folks. All right? So what does this mean? So I go and I look at Strong's Concordance, its number for and the first begun, which is a word prototokos, G4416, if anybody wants to actually look it up. It stands for the firstborn, in one word, of man or beast, of Christ, the firstborn of all creation. So you have to ask, well, what is creation? Well, let me read a little further down into the full entry here why I say this is sort of a little divine providence going on. It says, in the same sense, apparently he is called the first of the dead who was raised to life. Now, what have we talked about, folks? How do you become alive? Well, first you have to get rid of your dead instrument. You have to get out from under the ceste cuvée. You have to get out from under all these things that make you dead, the dead pledges, the mort gages, all of that. So what was Jesus Christ? Like I said, it's the story of you, if you want to be, the first of the dead who was raised to life. It continues. This is, of course, from Revelation. It says, he who was the Son of God long before those who by his agency... What? He who was the Son of God long before those who by his agency and merits are exalted to the nature and dignity of sons of God. Oh, what does that mean, folks? That means you can all be sons of God if you choose, with the added suggestion of the supreme rank by which he excels these other sons. So, Jesus, yes, the first son, the firstborn, the highest in rank, as it is in any family, the eldest son, if you will, for which all other sons are created. This is what the law recognizes, remember? The congregation of the pious Christian dead, already exalted to the enjoyment of the blessedness of heaven. In other words, you go from being dead to being alive, heaven on earth. Yeah. You see, this Bible thing cannot be read with the intent that everything is geared towards the time when you are literally dead. It's not about the afterlife, it's about this life. The story of Jesus is about following in his footsteps to become the Son of God, not to believe that he was the Son, none of that. It's to become, to manifest God in your own actions. And here it is. Here's that word, my friend. I would have never even pondered what that word meant. Who was the Son of God long before those who in his agency? Well, so what are you saying, KW, that we need to be in the agency of God instead of the agency of the United States?
Well, they asked Jesus, said, who is my brothers and sisters? And he said, those who do my Father's will. Well, if you're doing someone's will, who agent are you?
Perfect. Will and testament of Jesus Christ, in other words, right?
Sure. And this is what we're going to talk about here, is you talking about how they got the system set up. Well, how do they recognize in your system if you're in the heaven on earth, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, you need a new birth certificate. Because once the child has been identified, or another birth certificate obtained, i.e. baptismal certificate, or Bible, any kind of other record, because it's from the record that the certificate is made. It's the record that is your problem. And you can't see the record without a certain court order, and the reason is because in there you're of unknown parentage. How else are you going to figure all this out unless you sought knowledge, the truth? Think you
the truth,
and you will find it.
Okay? Yeah, well.
So,
go ahead.
Once we correct the record, we get a new birth certificate. You're reborn.
This
certificate is not going to evidence the existence of an artificial person. It is going to recognize the beneficiary and heir.
Okay. And there again, this is the purpose of, at some point in this whole process, we're talking about delivering, as you said, delivering the, was preferably the Bible with your registry, your birth registry on it. But the fact of actually delivering the Bible into the court, and the court, from everyone I've ever talked to who's done this, the court always accepts it because it's literally the foundation of the entire law. How can they not accept it? They expect you to put an oath upon the Bible, for God's sake, folks. So how do you think they're not interested and literally bound by that book? So, yeah, this verse just, now I understand agency even more. And all we're talking about, to be redeemed under Christ, to be saved under Christ, to be reborn in Christ, you're just talking about spiritual agency, the opposite of the agency that we're talking about.
Right. We battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, i.e. municipal corporations, and spiritual wickedness in high places. See, that's, your county is a principality. Your city is a principality. And this is from where the people say they derive their authority, which is an absolute absurdity. But God has caused a strong delusion them to come over them that they should breathe life into the image of the beast. And whoever will not worship the image of the beast shall be punished for it, you know, prosecuted.
Wow. Oh, well, this is one of those holy crap moments, I'll tell you that. Well, let's get back to the this notion of court. I'm just going to let you explain it how you want to do it. Maybe you want to go through the process you went through, the trials and tribulations, if you will.
Well, all right. Yeah, I will here in a second. I want to address what the book of life says. And the Bible tells us, was not your name written down from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, was not your name written in the book of life?
And that's your Christian name, your given name?
Well, yeah, that's your Christian or baptismal name, however you want to see it, whichever one you was christened. Okay. The Book of Life is the Bible. There's a great little kids movie out right now called Book of Life. Check it out. Its symbology is it's jaw-dropping because you have the church and the state, and they're all vying to see which one's going. Who's going to win? Is he going to come with the church, or is he going to come with the state? But that's something you could do, check out. Now, before we start about talking about the courts, I want to talk about when we talk about the delivery room. You went to a room called the delivery room and straight to the ward, the maternity ward. All right? Well, the way you, once you, like I said, once you've been a maid of ward and your estate has been taken control of, it will always be under the control of the guardian. Always, to the day you die, unless you sue for your livery of person. Let me say that again. Once you are in a ward, it doesn't make a difference, whoever, man, state, agency, whatever. Once you're a ward and someone has taken control of your estate, that guardian and that trustee will always have their hand over your rights until you sue for your livery of person. Right? Someone has been taking care of you since day one. There's an account. So when you get wise and hip enough to figure out who you are, you should show up and ask for an accounting of your estate. But somebody assumes control and custody of that infant's estate. You, your estate, my estate, and all the other estates that didn't fill out the paperwork for it.
Say that again. You broke up a little.
Well, you know, it applies to everybody who's in this boat with us who didn't fill out the paperwork correctly. See, they have their record, which is the hospital record where the doctor and somebody has presumed that you're an infant of unknown parentage, and they assume custody and control of your estate, so you were appointed as an agent to operate this agency, so at least you have some commercial rights, because you don't have any other kind. So we'll give you commercial rights and do this. But see, we have to go back to the beginning of the record, and this is where they delivered you. But you need to show back up and show and get it. This, when you show up to ask for an accounting of the estate, this is the second coming of the Son of Man. He doesn't come once. But when he shows up the second time, he's bringing hellfire with him. Because the war in a principal agency relationship is a principal, and the agent is liable to him. So if your guardian did not teach you about law, they were negligent. If they didn't teach you about how the world really works, they was negligent. They had an obligation and duty to make sure that you were competent enough to handle your own affairs in this world. But that's not what they chose to do. What they chose to do was keep you stupid, keep me stupid, and embezzle our estates. These are the lowest learners, the Bill Clintons, the George Bushes, and all the other greedy people that use their sorcery language to get people to believe something that isn't true. And to act upon it, of course, with a gun.
So, just out of curiosity, then, the word ward, when we say a ward, that means that the ward is being granted damages, right?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. My sister, when she was about 12 years old, there were some men working on the house, and they was removing and replacing a door. They let that door fall, and it slid down the steps and hit my sister's knee. And they cut a big old gash, messed her knee up pretty good. Went to the hospital. She got all repaired and everything. My dad went and got an attorney. Now, here's what the attorney did. And listen up, folks. This is what the attorney did. He did not go down and file a civil lawsuit. He didn't go down and file anything in any civil court. He went straight to the probate court and filed for an application for settlement of a minor's claim. Where in the settlement of minor's claim, he put in the paperwork that the child had suffered damage to the child's estate.
And the only thing that actually happened was a bloody knee.
Yep.
The child's estate, that signifies, well, I mean, what that really signifies is future work, future labor, if you will, the ability to, I understand that it's just really, I'm still trying to get over the house, how screwed up this is, like you said, from these bastards that we call president, etc. Basically, the estate is the body. The body is the estate.
Right. And the question is, do you have a legal relationship with that state? Because that state has entered into contracts, agreements, financial transactions with all kinds of shady people. Well, they're going to come hold you liable, and the reason they're going to come hold you liable is like, well, did you vote for him? Ain't you a citizen?
Well, not that it matters if you vote or not. It's not like you have a chance to say none of the above. They don't really care what your vote is. it's just all a game anyway.
Well, this is why you need to gather your evidence, and this is what we'll talk about now, that dreaded place called court.
Mm.
If you're in court, somebody has alleged you had an obligation, no matter how you look at it. Because in every court case, there's a creditor and a debtor.
So let me get this straight, just so I have it. There's only two states of being: one's a creditor and one's a debtor. And if you're showing up to court, it strictly means that someone has accused you of having an obligation that you have not fulfilled,
or your agency, or your business.
Your agency,
you know, right?
So, in other words, they accuse your person, and you're the agent of that person that has to go take care of it.
Right. I mean, if you go to the Walmart or Lowe's or, you know, whatever, Chicken Filet, right? I mean, Chicken Filet can't show up. Ronald McDonald can't show up and defend Walmart. There has to be an agent.
Mm.
So, somebody's alleging that you had an obligation. And when we talk about creditor or debtor, a creditor is he to whom an obligation is owed, and a debtor is he who owes an obligation. Now, the most important part that you can understand about the court, when we're going to this courtroom, is that if you don't have the obligation, that there's no case. Right? That's what we have to understand, is that if you do not have the obligation, there is no case, because there cannot be a creditor without a debtor. There cannot be an obligor without an obligee. They come hand to hand, it's joined together. There's no such thing as a creditor without a debtor. There's no such thing as a right without an obligation. So when you go in this courtroom, that's where we're at. We're in a creditor situation. It might be a debt of performance. It might be a debt of money, a debt of something else. But an obligation is over. And if you take away the obligation, if I'm going to defeat this, and I can prove that I don't have the obligation, then that means that the guy suing me doesn't have the right. And if he doesn't have the right, he doesn't have the standing. And if he doesn't have the standing, there's no case. If there's no case, the judge doesn't have jurisdiction. So the most paramount thing when we're in court, stuck in a court battle, is to understand that they're accusing you of defaulting on an obligation. For instance, they're saying that you don't have a driver's license or you're driving under suspension. Well, what they're saying is that you had an obligation to obtain a driver's license and insurance and maintain insurance and get your plates on your car. That's what they're saying. Judge, they had an obligation to get their driver's license and their registration and their insurance, and they didn't do it. So I'm here asking the court to give me some remedy. And that's your basic fact of case. And if you go look under Kentucky Revised Statute 189.010, definitions, it defines a motor vehicle as all agency for the transportation of persons or property over upon the highway.
Say that again.
I said in 189 of the Kentucky Revised Statute, it states that a motor vehicle, when it says includes all agencies for the transportation of persons or property over upon the highway.
Wow, that needs to be explained, because that's saying that a motor vehicle is nothing but an agency or part of the agency.
That's why it's called the Motor
Vehicle
Code.
What's that?
That's why it's called the Motor Vehicle Code.
Okay, so that's going to be hard for people to understand, I think.
Call it the agency code.
What's that?
Let's just call it the agency code.
Right, but how is a... So we're talking about the status, not the physicality or the substance, but the form, the title, if you will, of the vehicle, then, is another word for agency. It's hard to put into words. That's a problem.
Well, of course, it depends on what chapter and statute you look at. A definition of a word can change from section to section, from chapter to chapter, to title to title, to body of law to body of law. And, you know, so we always want to go look at the definition section of a chapter of a statute. We always want to check the definitions out before we go read the statute, because if you don't read the definitions, you're making it all up on your own anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
This is why so many people misconstrue what statutes mean. It seems that they don't go read the definitions. Now, if you get a ticket, a seatbelt ticket, or any kind of the traffic violations related to such, such as a headlamp out and these types of things, well, the term motor vehicle, as defined in those violations of those statutes, is defined as an agency. I forget the case name, but there was a case here in Kentucky right about the turn of the century where this people brought a suit against this man. And because there was no agency, that he was an agent, he was a free man having no principle, that the statutes did not apply to him. Because the statutes is the realm of the fiction. You know, it's Caesar's realm.
All right, so the question then becomes, since we're calling the vehicle an agency, is that because it is a registered vehicle? Or it is registered as a vehicle?
Well, the entity is a vehicle. Just like a vessel is on water, it is on land. Now, when we're talking about the agency relationship between, when we're talking about the specific statute, what it means is if I employ you to take my property from here to there, there's an agency, see?
Oh, okay. So it's the rights and obligations.
Yeah, a taxi cab driver, a truck driver, UPS driver, these type of people have to have licenses because they're engaged in taxable and commercial activity. And they have to have a license for it. They're not going to come and do business here on the people's land, the people of Commonwealth Kentucky's land, without the people getting some benefit of it. You're not going to come here to Kentucky and do business in Kentucky unless we get a piece of it, and this is what we call taxes, and this is where it gets in commerce. If the United States is going to bring all those entities in here and let them do business, which we let them do, by agreement, we get to tax them. Did I lose you?
No, just thinking. Just the difference there between entity and agency. Define entity for me, then.
Well, there's two concepts of agency. I use two concepts of agency. Agency, I could look at it as a person, right? Because if there's a record showing that the entity exists, such as the IRS or the Department of Health and Family Services or the Transportation Department, Commerce Department, all these are agencies of government, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they all have what we call legal existence, right?
Okay.
All right. Now, and there's evidence that paper, you know, some kind of record showing that the evidence is their legal existence. Now, there's another type of agency, which is the relationship between a principal and agent. For instance, when I employ you to carry my carrots from my farm down to the market, you're doing that on behalf of me. There's an agreement. You're going to carry my carrots down there, you're going to act on my behalf, and you're going to subject yourself to my control, because I don't want you selling those carrots for no less than a dollar a pound. So now we have agents. Well, let's say on your way down to the marketplace, you have a big old wreck, right? And somebody got killed in it. Who's liable? Because there was a case just like this.
Okay.
Who's liable? Me or you?
Oh. Well, I would assume the guy that got into the crash would be liable for the contract, the agency.
Well, of course, it would depend. Was the agent acting within the scope of authority? Yeah. Let's say, presume he was. Yes, the agent was acting within the scope of authority. But what did the agent act on behalf of the official? Yes.
So basically what you're saying, dude, is anytime I'm in a car and my car is a registered vehicle, I'm going to be acting as an agent of in agency with government. I'm always in commerce no matter what I do. In other words, everything I do in person as an agent is on behalf of government. It's not on behalf of myself. That's the wheat and the tare. I'm doing nothing to benefit myself. Every action I take is as an employee of government. You're going to tell me if I'm right or wrong when we get back. Stay tuned, folks.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
What are you thinking? Micro plant powder with iodine and probiotics for a total body detox for around $10 a month. HempUSA.org has 12 formulations of micro plant powder for absorbing and removing toxins from your kidneys, liver, blood, lungs, stomach, and colon, and feel better than ever. It alkalizes, oxygenates, kills parasites, does the job of 10 products. That saves you space, time, and money. Call 888-910-4367 only at HempUSA.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Woo, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Oh, man. Hey, 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. If you'd like to call in today, I'm kind of promised people I could talk to you for hours, my friend, on this, but I feel like I owe it to my listeners to be able to ask you a question. Please keep it on topic, folks. Just an answer to my previous question, just to make sure I kind of have this straight. Basically, you're saying that the vehicle itself is an agency, meaning it's literally a ship, a vehicle, if you will, moving on their little commercial ocean, and you are the agent operating the agency or the vehicle in commerce.
Yeah, vehicle vessel.
Yeah, so it really doesn't matter what you say or do. You can't really escape that until you get rid of the fact that you are an agent and that vehicle is registered under your agency, right?
Right, and this is how the registrar will accept other documents other than a birth certificate for identification.
Yeah, I've certainly talked to people about, you know, just a piece of paper that says, I am this person notified or notarized by a notary. Let's go to the phones, my friend. Let's take Richard in Washington. Richard, welcome, sir.
Yes, this is the greatest presentation yet. You've outdone yourself. And get Casey back as much as possible.
Yeah,
Basically, why I wanted to ask him is the same thing that I've kind of run across in my studies, that this all began in year one. And essentially, the Caesars took control at that time, told us they took control, took over part of the Egyptian law code, and then the Roman law code, implemented it through their propaganda and their PSYOP into the Bible, and we've been using that document, they essentially instituted it as the law since the year one. Is that what Casey is finding in his research also, or something else?
Well, yeah, it's KW, by the way.
Or KW, I'm sorry.
It's all good. I've been called JW, KW, KenW.
Why the hell do you care about names?
I don't care. You can call me whatever you want, man. I don't care. Anyways, yeah, of course it goes back to this. And, you know, I can only attest to the 43 years that I have been on this earth, conscious anyway. And I can only look at the evidence that's presented and look at it reasonably and logically and can make a conclusion based on the evidence. And, of course, we're going to give credibility to evidence, a certain weight to evidence, which is going to influence our decision. And, of course, when we look back at this, at the Caesars of Rome, the Holy Roman Catholic Church absolutely plays a role in all this, absolutely.
Yeah, and I've kind of like, since we never know who our enemy is, I've given him a term called the Talmudist oligarchy, and as Clint's pointed out, they're all related, and my belief is they're the bloodline from the first god, Julius Caesar, and the son of God, Augustus Caesar, and when you put it in that framework, you know, all this stuff makes sense, and they've been perfecting it for over 2,000 years now.
Well, you know, I'm starting to question even that. I'm starting to question, did Caesars exist? Did the pharaohs exist? Did any of these people actually exist? Because the writings that I've seen and some of the things that have been discovered, that a lot of these things are frauds. Some of the coins that have been put forward, you know, they say Justinian with a J when there was no J in the language. So I'm actually wondering if a lot of that type of history, I mean, if you're going to not believe that Jesus Christ existed, then how can you also believe some of the other characters in the Bible? It's a funny argument to use certain characters in the Bible to argue that others didn't exist. So I'm starting to wonder, whatever the origin of the Bible is, I'm starting to wonder that around, I don't know, sometime in the last 1,000 years or so, this all didn't really start taking place, as opposed to going way back when. And of course, they have the lawmakers, and more importantly, so it seems to me like the whole foundation of these people ruling everybody else is that bloodline connection, and so they have to establish a bloodline. They have to establish that somewhere in their bloodline was the first, you know, the God, if you will. And so how do you verify that kind of history when it's their history, it's their story, it's what they're teaching, it's what they're promoting in order for them to be in power? So it's a really tough conundrum. That's why I like what you say, well, I won't call you KC, KW, is that you've been here 42 years and only been really aware of your existence here not too recently, and that's all you can go by. You can look at the book for what it is. You can decipher it as it's been twisted and altered into its proper legal, devolution, and that's all you can do. Whether or not these people can claim blood right to rule is really irrelevant when it comes down to understanding what it is that you're saying today. That's the important thing, I think, is what you're trying to get across, right?
Sure. Write your own story.
Yeah, exactly. Richard, go ahead, man.
No, that great point, and yeah, is the PSYOP, is the Matrix of recent origin, and the rest is all completely fraudulent, and you know, we've just bought into the new Matrix, of long-term origin. And who can tell, and how can you prove it? And yeah, carry on and get some other callers on there. Great information, and keep coming back, KW.
Sure will.
All right, Rich. Thanks, man. I I want you to go back before we take any more calls. Just go back into the notion that you were talking about with court, and you know, how to approach that.
Well, it depends on what kind of court you're going to. Of course, you know, is it a case of law or is it a case of equity? And as we talked about before, there's only two types of cases at law, and that's torts and contracts. So when we go ahead into court, that's one question you can ask, Judge, is this a case at law or is this a case in equity? And if he says this is a case at law, this, he's telling you that this is due to a tort or a contract.
So he's limited what it can be by his own words.
Right, and this is what I always enjoy doing to them, is let them call the game, and I'll just box them in.
Yeah. As long as you know each avenue that he could possibly suggest, then you're golden.
Right, but we want to maneuver him in a certain way. We want to force him to answer.
All right, so if the answer is yes, it's a court of law, or a case, is this a case at law? Is that the correct answer or question?
Right. Yeah, if this is a case at law, but if he says yes, he's telling you this is a tort or a contract. If there's no injured party, then we know it's due to the contract. And, of course, the contract is the agency, the operation of the agency. It's implied. You're using the birth certificate. You're conducting commerce in the name of the United States, a vessel. There's more than enough evidence for me as the judge to sit here and say, according to the law, you are the operating this agency, thus you are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
Okay, and you're the agent, you made the contract, you're liable for the obligation of the contract. So is it a case of law? If it is a case of law, it's not then a case at equity or inequity, right? Well, what is equity?
Well, there's equity when you look at it as value that you put into an enterprise. So that's what you have, an estate, some equity in the estate of the organization. And then there's the equity jurisdiction or equity jurisprudence. Given my druthers, if I was to stand in law, if I had a choice between standing in law or standing in equity, you give me the law every time.
Okay. So the judge says, yeah, we're a court of law, and this is a case at law. You know that it's therefore it can only be nothing else. It's either a tort or a contract. So what is a tort?
A tort is where there's an injured party, a wrongdoing.
Okay, how do you find out if there is an injured party?
Well, you simply ask, who's the injured party? They might say the city is. Well, just laugh at the judge. But that's the best thing to do to these idiots that's up there on the stand trying to deceive you. But once you know who you are and know what the game is, humiliate them in public. If they want to question you like you're some kind of idiot, turn right back around him, because he's supposed to be the professional. And if he doesn't know what an artificial person is, he shouldn't be sitting at bench, and you should tell him that.
So, okay, so let's say he does that. Who is the injured party, Judge? And he says the city?
Well, I say, Judge, that's impossible. If you want to bring one of the stockholders in here, or one of the creditors, or somebody who is a real interested party in this case that was injured, I'd be fine with addressing his claims. But all I have here is an agent of an entity.
All right.
I don't have an injured party.
So, and the agent can't be injured?
The agent being the attorney for the city, the prosecutor.
Right, and again, injure means to bring into the law or bring into the court. So the party would have to be there. So obviously, the city can't be there.
Yes, because you hear about federal judges. Sheriff Joel Arpaio just brought a case, and the federal courts just kicked it out because there was no injured party. The sheriff's department is an entity; it can't bring a suit. It has to have an injured party that's behind it that is bringing the suit on behalf in the entity's name. And if you go listen to our fellow James Wagstaff on YouTube, federal jurisdiction, type in, this man is an expert on federal jurisdiction, and he's going to explain a lot of how it works, federal jurisdiction anyway, and who can bring a suit and who can't.
All right, so we got some more calls. If there's no injured party and there's no tort, then all that leaves is a contract, and so... The proper thing to then ask would be what?
So many contracts.
Where's the contract?
Yeah, we go straight to the statute of frauds, because no action shall be brought to charge any person then it lists all the conditions, and it all has to do with debts and charges and everything, unless it's in writing, signed by the person to be charged with it or his authorized representative. So no contract is enforceable under those circumstances that it lists in the statute of frauds, and that includes a debt incurred by an infant during infancy.
Okay. Plead the baby. Let's go to the phones. I really want to get some calls in here. I'm sorry. Kathy in Massachusetts, welcome.
This is an amazing interview. Is there any way you could put it on YouTube, not just on your webpage, Clint? Because I find people are more comfortable just clicking on YouTube rather than get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, this might be one of those special occasions.
If you would do that for me, this is riveting because I've got a couple of really bright people that I tell them. I had a date last week, a real date with a real decent guy. I swear, I carried my phone to the car with me. I hate to admit it, but it was so hard because I didn't want to turn off the radio show. But this is even better than that show that night. You guys are like two peas in a pod. So if you could put this on YouTube, I think that would be great. And just, I don't know, how would you know the name of it? What would you call it to look for it?
Holy crap. I don't know. She's like, I'm having the same reaction. Hey, real quick, do you have a question?
I appreciate it. No, I don't. I just wanted to ask you to put it on YouTube because I find my people easier. Thank you. Bye.
Absolutely. A decent guy. All right. Nathan, Arizona, welcome.
Hey, excuse me real quick. I'm almost, I was trying to make it home by the time I got online here. You can hear me all right. I'm just going to say or ask the question real quick. From yesterday and today, seems like what AW, you're saying is that you can, you found a way, or you believe that you found a way, and that's your claim, is that you're... You can become one of the people. Is that true? Is that what you're trying to say here?
When I was born, I was crowned. I was one of the people from the beginning, but I've forsaken my first estate and become and entered into the world. Now I need to. Now, when you come back as the second coming of Son of Man and claim your estate and your library of person, and you separate the agency relationship. Now you're allowed to exercise all of your God-given rights and dispose of your property as you see fit. Right now you can't do it because there's a guardian that has their hand on your estate, on your right. You can't exercise all of your rights right now. But once you release the guardian's hand, now all your God-given and inalienable rights are given to you and you can exercise them.
So I guess it's a yes.
Well, the people, though, I mean, that's a specific, excuse me, that's a specific term, right? We go back and forth here. It's quite the wobbly word. We've grown up thinking, you know, we are the, talk about in the preamble. Now we know that wasn't what, you know,
remember the preamble has no legal authority. It's just a preamble. It's just a statement it's a declaratory statement, but it has no legal weight whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, the people that they were talking about was themselves and their posterity. So it's a type of intellectual property. And if you're making a claim on that, then that's what I'm asking. Are you claiming that intellectual property as if that is your own? Because I think that needs to be straightened out.
I am a co-parsoner of the parsonary, and I'll let you take it from there.
And that basically means that what they created was a religious society. It just doesn't appear that way to us. So you're saying that a parsoner.
I'm telling you, religious people run this country.
Yeah.
Point blank, they own it all. Now, they have given some property to these business trusts that we call the all capital letter states in order to conduct commerce so that they can have a person in commerce so that they can enjoy some protection from the realm of Caesar. They have a straw man that they use. That's their straw man, Commonwealth of Kentucky. That's their straw man. That's their entity that they use to conduct commerce. And that entity is subject to all the commercial regulations and everything, and to be held liable and responsible for charges against it. But it can only, suing the Commonwealth of Kentucky, you can only sue the Commonwealth of Kentucky. You can't sue the people themselves. Can you?
So in other words, what you're saying is you don't become the people, you enjoy the rights and privileges and benefits of the people to where you never have before.
Well, yeah, you become free.
Yeah.
And what is free? Free means not subject to the legal restraint of another, to be able to act on his own, according to his own conscience. And that's what I've talked about here. But as long as you have the ward status, and you haven't showed up to sue for your liberty of person, you're still a ward. You don't get to exercise all your rights.
Right.
One more thing, real quick. Immunity. That's one word I really keep thinking you guys are going to say, but then then it's never said. That's pretty much what your goal is to from what you're working against there, right? Seeking immunity to do business with immunity rather than just a bunch of busyness.
Well, if I'm going to do business with someone or some corporation or the agent of some corporation, when I enter into these agreements, it's binding upon me if it's me, my person. Now, if I had a trust that was interacting in between it, I could use that trust as a firewall from my private assets. And I can only put what I'm willing to lose in the poker game, i.e. the commercial system, I put it in that trust, and I operate out of that trust to do foreign interstate commerce with other people. But if I enter into interstate commerce, then I become subject to the jurisdiction of Congress under the Interstate Commerce Clause.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you guys very much. I had those questions, and
yeah,
we'll be digesting. So thank you.
Oh, yeah.
All right, yeah, well, you know, we're all in the learning process, and even our guest is still learning, although he's certainly gotten farther than most, I'd say. How much is this? I don't know how to ask this, but there's a lot of crap out there. That's the only way I can say this. You're not selling anything today. You're not going to say, here's my package and all my paperwork and all of that. There's a lot of that out there. Secured party creditors in commerce and all that stuff. What is your opinion of all that stuff compared to what you've done?
Well, I don't know of anybody who's done what I've done. And that's the approach that I see one guy who come kind of close, and it was a case called Odie versus Odie in California. But when he sued the entity, he did it under, he claimed that it was a trust and an estate and all that, which is where he messed up. No, it's a state agency, a commercial entity, a business trust, and you're party to it. That's why you have an instrument called a birth certificate, which lists the parties. It's an instrument. What do instruments contain? They contain parties. You can't have an instrument without parties. And if you go back and look under in Strong's Dictionary, under the word mark, it tells you it's syragma, which is a mark, which is the evidence, is the legal relationship between parties. And that's what your birth certificate does. It evidences the legal relationship between you and the state.
Okay. Let's say one last call here. Craig, looks like, from Louisiana. Welcome.
Hello. I got a question. I think you may have just answered it, though. But I'm in Louisiana, and I did like you. I went on the internet and typed in resignation of registration agent for Louisiana, and I came up, and what they're saying, to resign as a registered agent from a corporation or LLC in Louisiana, you filed a written notice, blah, 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 with all this other crap. So what you just said, I think, is that I am a corporation or a LLC, so I can act in that capacity when I sell this paperwork out. Is that correct?
Well, as an agent, did your principal authorize you to use his name in business and transaction?
Yes.
Again?
And that basically gives you the, if you will, the right to also resign that post.
Well, yeah, you can resign anytime you'd like. But if I enter, if you give me the power of attorney and you make me your agent to go do this, to make this contract with this foreign company in China, and when I go and I sign this contract, when it gets back, if it's a crappy contract to you, who's liable for it? You are. You're the principal. You're the one that hired me. You gave me the power and authority. I went and did it. I signed on behalf of the my principal, you, and you're the one that's going to be held liable as long as I act within my scope of authority.
Okay. Do I have to notify the entity serving as the registered agent before I resign or after? And it says no. When I get to the state, when I file with the state, that's the end of it, right?
Well, here's who you want to notify: with the resignation of the registered agent and request for a statement whether or not any other.
Take notes, folks. This is who you should be contacting if you're going to do this, because these are the people that would have a record of an obligation that you would owe. You would not be able to end agent status unless these obligations are fulfilled.
Right, right. Exactly. You have to settle the account or your business with that agency, whoever you got a license from or whatever. But here's the agency names, right? We want to notify the Secretary of State. We want to notify the State Comptroller. We want to notify the Department of Treasury for your state. We want to notify the IRS, the Social Security Administration, and the Department of Transportation, and any other agency for which you have been licensed by. And you're going to simply ask for a statement, tell them that you're resigning, the appointment of the entity, and you're going to put the name, the all capital letter name on your certificate there, and you're going to ask them if you have any other legal obligations. If you're lucky, they'll send you back later, and they'll say, thank you, we've noted this. And no, you don't have any other legal obligations. Now what you have is evidence that that agency can never bring charges against you because you owe them no obligation.
And I would say that you should probably give them a certain amount of days to answer, and if they don't answer, to write in there that would assume the fact that, or represent the fact that there is no obligation, right?
Yeah, but don't...
Well, what if you do have obligation? Like I owe taxes right now to the IRS, and I'm receiving some kind of disability from Social Security. How that affect those deals?
Right. So you're in a situation where you're kind of bound by the operation of the agency. Well, just be a very good agent.
I got you. Okay.
What does that mean? Be a good agent.
Well, what's your duties and obligations as a good agent?
Well, unfortunately, we're at the end. So, anyway, and if you're, you know, honestly, man, if you're unsure, that's not the end all be all list, man. You got something else? God, send it to the President of the United States if you want to. You can send it to anybody you want. It's not like you're threatening anybody. Be sure, make sure, and you'll be fine. Now, but anyway, man, thanks so much for spending these 2 days with us. We'll certainly have you back if you're willing, and I think everybody really appreciates this, so you take care of yourself, man. You be careful out there.
Hey, one more thing. Don't nobody resign from agency, because that's what I did earlier, and